welcome to Always in Escrow with Colby Burchin and Serena Appel. Hello, Colbs.
Hi, Serena. How are you?
I'm beyond fantastic because today we are speaking with Kathy Heller. She is the author and podcast host of one of the top podcasts in our country, guys. It is called Don't Keep Your Day Job, How to Turn Your Passion into Your Career. Welcome to our podcast, Kathy.
Oh my gosh, you have so much enthusiasm. It's like a fire hose of love. I can't imagine if you're like that when your husband comes home from work. He's probably floating on a cloud.
Well, we're still living in a pandemic. And though we want to be out and about, my husband is still home. But I will try and be as enthusiastic in every moment of seeing him. But yes, we are so happy you're here, Kathy, because you are a longtime friend of Colby's. Colby, tell us how you met.
So about, I would say 10 years ago, I probably met Kathy. She was looking for a home. She was in LA. She wanted to be in Boca. Her family was from Boca. She really, really wanted a house. And I kept on telling her about different houses. We connected on such a level that, Serena, I know you and I are friends for a while. Whenever Kathy and I are together, like in a place, not like this, but in a place, we actually start crying because her and I get to such a deep level. And it's funny, we could cry about anything. Like, she has freckles. She says, I have freckles. So we cry about that. But we get to such a place and she's so genuine, so down to earth. I feel energized every time I'm with her. So the fact that I have Kathy Heller, who really got us into this platform of podcast, which I didn't know anything about, and I saw how well she was doing, I wanted to do something like it. She is my guru, the Oprah of podcasts. I am so fortunate to call you my good friend. Kathy Heller, welcome to the show.
Oh my God, you are such a mensch. He is so adorable. And honestly, it really is a mirror for you. You make everything magical. Your tolerance for just people going through their stuff, first of all, is so high. And it's because you're very kind. You're really kind. And I liked him a lot, Serena. And then I met his wife and I was like, oh my God, this is the person that he chose. She is so amazing. She is so strong and she's equally gorgeous. And I thought, oh, he's that person. He chose that girl. I was like, all right, I think I got it now. So I'm really happy to be here. I've been telling Colby he should have a podcast. And it really is so true that people want to work with people that they feel like they like and they trust. And Colby makes friends in 1 second. So it's so fun to be here. And thank you for all of your sweet words. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, we're ready to have fun with you. Colby has a few questions that he came up with. I mean, I just wanted to call out that in looking over all that you've put out there, you are shining such a light for the masses. So I just want to put out the gratitude for all the work you're doing, Kathy. How did this all begin?
Yeah, really. I don't know. Like, you know, I know you before, but all of a sudden you just grew and I don't know how that started. So you had something in here that just got you to this platform now.
Yeah, that's true. I went out to Los Angeles. I grew up in Florida and went out there at 24. And I was like, I want to be a recording artist. You know, it was like, that was it. And my songs were a little bit better than mediocre. And I kept working on them. And then I got a record deal and I was signed to Interscope and I was sitting with Lady Gaga at Sunset Sounds, and she's recording, I'm your biggest fan, I'll follow you. And I was like, she's great. Like, this is going to work. And I wound up getting dropped from the label about 2 months later. And I thought, oh, this is the moment when everyone says, get real, be realistic, be responsible, be practical, go get a job. And so I worked in a floral design shop, but I wasn't good at it. I worked in a casting office. I worked as an assistant to the assistant of a show called The Ghost Whisperer with Jennifer Love Hewitt. I worked on that pilot. I was like, what am I doing here? It's so toxic in this like casting environment. And then I met a friend who's like, if you're going to make money and not do your dream job, you should be in finance or real estate. So I met a guy in Brentwood sitting at the Cheesecake Factory We were waiting, sitting at the booth, waiting online. And he's like, you've got a good personality. You could be my wingman. You could sell anything. And he's like, I sell commercial real estate. Come work for me. I didn't know what a cap rate was. I didn't know about ROI and rent roll, nothing. He's like, just be with me. We'll go to lunch with people. Just be you. Just be you. And oh my God, he started paying me $200,000, right? Which for him was nothing. And I bought a CLK Mercedes and I got the couch at Anthropology and I got the cute front apartment in Beverly Hills, right? And I was like, yes, crushing it. Yeah. Until I was looking at myself in the mirrored elevator doors one day, wearing my double-breasted suit, like Hillary Clinton style. And I was like, I don't know who this girl is. Like, I came out to LA with like all this stuff inside of me that I wanted to do, and I'm doing this. And so I went into his office and I was like, I'm going to leave and I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to go do music and I'm going to figure it out. And there's got to be, and this is what I want people to listen, like, and circle this line, which is, I realize that it's not Beyonce or bust. It's not all or nothing. There's a million points of light on the light spectrum. I was like, isn't there anything else I could do? And so there's a Rumi quote, and he says, what you seek is seeking you. And so I started looking for evidence. Like, is there any other way I could do music? And I noticed that there were songwriters at the time who were writing music, and their songs would be in like Old Navy commercials, or they'd be on Grey's Anatomy. And I was like, why didn't I think of doing that? Like, that's much less than being a recording touring artist. Like, maybe I could do that. And so I did kind of what I did in real estate, which is I made a list and I cold called. But instead of cold calling principals or buyers or sellers, I was calling Paramount, Netflix, NBC. Well, Netflix wasn't around yet, but I was calling all these places, plus ad agencies, Leo Burnett and Ogilvy and Deutsch. And I would be so uncomfortable, but I would just tolerate it. And I would say, hey, you know, who's in charge of music? And I would just schmooze the people, like, what's up? What are you working on? What story are you telling? And actually, I was just telling this to somebody else, so I grabbed this, but this is a Billboard magazine from 2013. And this is Macklemore on the cover. And this whole issue was Triumph of the Indie Hustle is what it says. So inside, so they wrote a whole story about me. This is in 2013. Here I am.
Oh my God.
And then like literally like this is a full page story in Variety. And then I was in the LA Weekly and I was on the cover of the, anyway, I can't find, you know, note to self before you're going to show someone something, like pencil, mark, earmark the page.
Right.
The point is you don't need to see this. Oh, there I am. This is me in Variety magazine.
Wow.
So, and this was, I think 2 years later. Anyway, so for a string of years, I was like the girl writing music for Coca-Cola and McDonald's and Pretty Little Liars and Grey's Anatomy. And I would write all these songs, which I was also singing. And I was making about $500,000 a year. And my husband and I, we thought it was so much money. We're like, this is amazing. And it's cool. Like once in a while, people hear you. And we were on the plane, actually. This is probably when Colby and I first connected. Coming to Florida, I only had two kids at the time. I think my oldest was like 2 and 3 and yep, and maybe 1 and a half, something like that. So it's like 9.5 years ago. And we were on the flight. This is before we flew first class. And we're sitting in the row. And all the TVs were playing this McDonald's commercial. And I had just fallen asleep in between my two kids, which is like crucial, sacred, right? And she goes, mama, mama. And I looked. And, you know, you can see all the TVs down the rows.
Yeah.
And everybody was listening to me. You know, like they don't know. But it was just so cute. So I did that. And then what happened is this. And this is what's going to be happening or already happening in your life. Is every time you do anything, whether you're a great parent or you make a really good casserole or you license music to TV, anything you do, there's a line of people who want to know how you do what you do. So all of a sudden, all these articles come out about me and I'm like, oh, that's it. I know what's going to happen. I'll be back in the record label. I'll get a tour. No, it was artist after artist. How did you do that? How did you do that? How did you do that? So at first I was like insulted when my husband and his friends were like, you should be sharing this. I'm like, but I'm an artiste. I'm an artist. I don't teach. I do, right? So I was like, I'm not a teacher. I write music. I'm creative, da, 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 da. Anyway, finally I was like, that's such garbage. Like, just say yes. So a songwriter said to me, you should start a podcast. And this is 5 years ago. And my little one was 10 days old. I said, podcast? What the hell is the podcast? I don't even listen to podcasts. She's like, just start one because you're so inspiring. So I said, well, I don't want the title to just be about the music business, because the truth is that anything I've done, you could apply it to anything. And I'm always the person in the back of the Uber. My husband always like counts down. He's like, 10 seconds, she's going to ask the guy, what do you really want to do? Right. Well, I was always like that. Like, come on, get resourceful, get scrappy. How many phone calls have you made? Let's go do it. Right.
Right.
So I said, we'll do this. And my husband actually named the podcast, Don't Keep Your Day Job. And we just started it. And then it just blew up and we haven't done a single ad. It was all word of mouth. And now we have 30 million downloads and wow. I've interviewed Deepak Chopra and Tony Robbins and Matthew McConaughey and Rob Lowe and the Property Brothers and anybody who I'm like, oh, I want to talk to so-and-so. It's like 2 days later, I'm sitting with this person. And so I've just grown so much. Like I sat with Howard Schultz when he was running for president. This man created Starbucks. And I'll end by saying this because it was so inspiring. He said to me, you know, Kathy, he said, I grew up at the last stop of the L train in Canarsie, Brooklyn, in a public housing tenement. This is a billionaire. Okay?
Right.
And he said, Jewish Family Services used to bring us food because we lived well wow. below the poverty line. His father had been in the Vietnam War. He had gotten injured. His mother was like laundering clothes in the kitchen. Like they had nothing. This should be a movie, by the way. And he said his mom used to say to him every night when she would tuck him in, and I'm going to try to say this without crying. She used to say, oh, I'm going to try to say this without crying. So they're Jews, obviously. So she would say, Ketzela, remember this. I'm going to cry. This is the last stop of the L train. You don't get off here. This is not your last stop.
Oh my God.
And now so, yeah. So, so that's it, right? That's it. I think that people will reach for the highest branch they can see. The problem is most of the time, the highest branch we see is the most limited possibility.
Right.
So I've been on a mission to do this show and every episode hold up evidence of the highest branch. And what's happened as a result is that people have completely and totally changed their lives. And the reason I made it about your job, right, as opposed to like, do what's fun, you know, bucket list stuff. The reason I didn't do that is because I believe that our greatest feeling is impacting somebody else. I really have seen the data. I've kind of come to know that that's actually true, which is an amazing thing about humans, because I don't think koala bears are built that way. I don't think they walk around feeling like I need to make a contribution, but we actually do. And so I thought business is the coolest way to do that because business is radical empathy. If you're good as a realtor, if you're good as a proprietor of a yoga studio or a coffee shop, you have mastered empathy because you've listened and given what the other person needs or wants. Right? Why is Netflix so successful or Amazon? They're constantly asking you for your feedback. And part of the hangup people have is when they're very much in ego and it's all about me and you're so scared to hear feedback, there's no way to grow. But if you're in it because you want to find a way to take what you have and make it work for someone else, that's just a great thing for marriage. That's a great thing for, and business is a relationship. So I say, let's make it about business because it will force you to get excited about other people, right? And then you can also make money at it. And making money is so fun.
I love this so much.
Okay, so I want to know a couple things. Do you ever get nervous interviewing celebrities?
Oh my God, I love that question, Colby, and nobody asked me that. The answer is yes.
You do?
Yeah, I know I do. And so sometimes I don't, it just depends. Like I interviewed Harry Connick Jr. and I wasn't intimidated and I really like him. And I also think he's like really sexy.
Yeah.
I find that the people who I get intimidated by, it's where I'm kind of like looking at their ego, right? Right. Cause we all are really made of the same stuff, but we all have this like part we play. And it's like, how many followers do you have? And, you know, how skinny are you? And how tall are you? And where are you sort of in the continuum of egos? And how did that get? So there are some people who are actually more in ego. And then I find it intimidating because I feel like I can't drop in with them as fast. So that's, and I won't say who, which ones, but there are certain people. I won't say which one. I'm like tempted, but I won't. But like there was someone recently who made me really nervous because I thought he's really arrogant. So mm-hmm. it's going to be hard to like meet and have this like two friends from camp conversation. But then there's other people who are even more famous, like Deepak Chopra. And I knew I wouldn't be nervous at all because he comes from the heart, not from the ego. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I knew he would be available to connect because he's right. so present and he's so humble. So when people have a big ego, yes. And then I spend the whole day earlier going, why do I even do this? Why do I put myself through this?
How do you juggle it all? I mean, I know how I juggle things and I'm crazy all over the place. And now I'm fitting a podcast in and I'm loving it. Like, I'm having so much fun with it. How do you do it? You have books, you have podcasts, you have seminars, you have three kids, mm-hmm. husband. I look at you and I'm like, oh my God.
Okay. Well, part of it is, I'm going to show you this and it's going to explain a lot. So you know how there's like a million things pulling at you?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, you know, that thing they show you with the rocks, it's like put the most important rocks in first, then the pebbles, then the sand. It's sort of like prioritize your life. There's some statistic about how often people are on their phone, checking email, right? All that stuff. And those are not the big rocks. Okay. So before you have a heart attack, just letting you know, this is going to be a shock. So those of you who are listening, I'll say what I'm showing them. So I'm going to show you on my phone how many unread, unanswered emails I have. Okay. Take a deep breath. So 7,000. Okay. I do not answer the phone and I do not check email. The only way you can get in touch with me is to text me because it's personal. I know if you know my phone number, like we're yes. on the level, right? So anytime Colby's like, call me, I'm like, I it's not on the calendar to make any calls.
I'm a talker. I like talking.
I know. He's so cute. So I go, I wake up in the morning, right? I meditate, I get coffee, and then I get that one kid. My husband and I sort of, we divide and multiply, right? So I take one to school, he takes the other two. So we get the school thing going. I come back 9:15, I'm in front of this computer and I go hard from 9:15 to 2 whatever. And then it's always been, because I have a 10-year-old. So for 10 years at around 2 whatever, I'm out, I'm a mother. Then I go, I pick her up. And because I'm so out of pocket when I'm out of pocket, I'm with them when so I don't know if we're going to go to Carvel or if we're going to the park or if we're going to the mall or if we're going to whatever. That's that. Then it's dinner. Then I go back. And then there's usually like 18 things that my team needs from me that they're slacking me and voxering me. And I got to sign this Google thing or I got to look over something. And then I do it again the next day. So that's kind of how I do it. I think one of the things that people could take away from this, which is so juicy and so good, because people have asked me for so long, but how do you do it? Like at this yeah. point, you're running a really big business, right? And Colby knows, like I'm the breadwinner now, right? So it's like, it isn't no thing. Like I have to be responsible. I can't drop any balls, right? So part of it is there's so much that takes a lot of time when we're not feeling bold and courageous. But when you have a moment where you're feeling so freaking lit, you could get more done in 17 minutes than someone who has weeks. And Colby also knows my husband. It's like, he'll have time and time, but he's the opposite of me. He went to law school. He's brilliant. He's like a straight A student, got into Berkeley, went to undergrad, UCLA, USC Law School, UCLA Business School, like very smart. So he overanalyzes everything. So the time it takes him, I told him to start a podcast. It literally took him 2 months to buy a microphone before he. So I'm like, if you can do messy, inspired action, it's messy, but it's inspired, right? I got it all day long then. I can do it because I have that kind of energy. I have total, for me, I'm totally impulsive, totally spontaneous. And that also has its, you know, but what's interesting is the cost as an entrepreneur, it costs you more on the other side, right? Yes, there might be costs where it's like, oh, she said yes too fast, or, you know, she's an escrow in this house. She's never been like, yeah, there is that. So it drives him crazy. But the cost of overthinking it, because you're constantly anyway throwing spaghetti at the wall, you don't know what's going to stick. And it also takes away the feeling of it being personal. It's like, if that podcast didn't land, all right, we'll do the next one. If that guy didn't write me back and that was the collaborate, I don't even notice it. It's like you're on to the next thing. So I think that helps me get a lot done.
Love that. You're fired up.
I'm literally like this all the time.
I love it.
So where you are today compared to, you know, 5 years ago, do you now look back, and I know you're so busy, you probably don't do this, but I'm answering this question already, but do you look at it like, wow, look at what I've done. Look what I created.
It's amazing. I mean, when we got married, I was a songwriter. At that time, maybe I was writing a few songs for film and TV. It had not, right? We got married in 2009. Those articles I showed you were from 2013 and 15. So, but I was writing a few songs. Walking down that aisle, those people at that wedding, you know, my husband was an attorney. Nobody would have thought that this is where we would wind up, right? I was a C student, not to knock it, but I went to Florida State on summer academic probation and mission, like was not a standout in any way. Mm-hmm. So to think about how far we've come, it really is a testament that we think we live in a 3D universe. We live in a 5D universe. The world is vibration, right? Atoms are vibes. It's energy. It's all energy. And when somebody's energy is like so loving and so generous and so genuine and so non-judging, like I'm the girl who's like, I had a bad nose job. I didn't wear my retainer. I never had the best body. I have no answers in terms of how to be like the best parent or mother or wife. Oh my God. And it's kind of like when you're just ready to sit beside someone, there's no prescriptions. There's no like, I have all the advice. It's amazing. Like literally just being the most authentic, kind person. Boy, does that get you far. Like for all the time we spend trying to prove ourselves, it's like no one's interested. Nobody wants to be impressed, right? Who do you want to go to dinner with? Your friend who's like, oh my God, I have sex every day. I eat avocado toast. I'm perfect. Let me explain. My kids wear matching plaid outfits. I'm like, you're disgusting. I can't even be around you because I'm none of those things. Right?
So before we wrap it up, Serena and I put together this quick fire quiz. Okay, Kat? So, okay.
Love
deserted
it.
On a desert island. Three must-haves.
You're going to laugh. So for all the meditation and stuff that I do and all of that, the thing that I turn to when I need a little bit of a lift is the Kardashians. Honestly, I am obsessed with that entire family. I go down the rabbit hole. Kanye, yay, give it up for the guy. Caitlyn Jenner, obsessed. Anything related to them, it's an instant dopamine hit for me. So gotta bring some somehow. Also, I was bringing something with me. My holy, holy rabbi from Jerusalem, my Kabbalistic, gorgeous, gorgeous rabbi, because boy, is he a portal. He is a direct portal to the truth. So that wisdom, that light, that love, and iced coffee, because I literally forget to eat all day. I don't remember to eat, which I realize, by the way, all my people now tell me, that's why you're not able to lose all the weight from the babies because you don't eat. I'm like, not eating makes, yeah, because your body goes into, but all I do have on my desk all day long is iced coffee and I am obsessed with it. I could be happy with the Kardashians, a Kabbalist, and iced coffee.
Okay.
I love that. Okay, so my question for you is, private dinner with anyone in the world, who would you pick?
We just talked about the Kardashians and I would love to sit down with Kim. I feel like we become friends. I feel like she'd be like, oh, I get it. So I've been like manifesting that like I'm going to have her on the show.
Best concert you ever saw?
First of all, music is a religious experience for me completely. I've seen so many good concerts, but I saw at the Troubadour, which is a very small venue. It's like maybe 350, 400 people. So very small room on stage, James Taylor and Carole King together.
Ooh.
They did like a reunion.
That's a good
every single note. It like, I'm like, you brought God into this room. The amount of vulnerability and talent and open-heartedness from the two of them. You've got a friend and up on the roof. Like literally, if they could play up on the roof together for the world on a speaker, the way they play it, there wouldn't be a war in Ukraine, because you can't hear that. You can't tune into that and have anything in your heart other than like what we're supposed to be, which is like love and kindness. They were amazing. Incredible. Amazing. I'm just obsessed with them.
Wow. I really could envision myself being right there with you and experiencing that. Thank you. That's beautiful.
But shout out to South Florida. We just went to see Bill Burr at the amphitheater and in West Palm. And I was like, oh my God, I've been here. And I remembered that I was at that place to see Lilith Fair when I was in high school. And it was epic. It was Sarah McLachlan, Natalie Merchant, Sheryl Crow, the Indigo Girls, Joan Osborne, Queen Latifah. Like, what was that?
Whoa.
I mean, it was like 19 amazing shows in one show. So that was a pretty amazing concert. I've been to so many good concerts. Highly recommend.
And that's an amazing venue. That's the outdoor amphitheater, right?
Yeah, it was a great venue. It's also not too big, and it was great.
Well, thank you. We're so appreciative that you came on our show today. I mean,
You guys. If you give me this recording, I would like to take, because you put me in such a relaxed, cool vibe that I want to share this. So can you send me this, but like the video too, and I'll share it, and people can get to know me from this angle, from like somebody who I'm friends with. I think that they would like it.
Well, yes. Tell our audience how people could follow you. Tell them, you know, because I want people to keep on going your way. So,
so sweet. Yeah. So you could follow me at my podcast, which is called Don't Keep Your Day Job. You could also go to Instagram. I'm at Kathy.Heller, you know, sharing a little bit about Kabbalah, meditation, strategies for success. It's like a whole sort of concoction. So yeah, come on over there.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you. This is so fun.
Best. Thank you.